Good morning, everyone. Glad to be with you this morning and amazed that we're able to be with each other this way over and over again so that we can use technology to enhance our spirituality. What a thing. You know those movies where you see the production crew behind the scenes going from camera to camera and sliding things and pushing buttons and queuing things up? We're not quite like that, but we do have a lot of moving parts behind the scenes that you may never see that make it possible for us to put a service together for you. I mean, I think it's amazing, since I don't know how to do it at all, that Kit can create tracks to harmonize with herself. And then Katie Marie is here live, offstage, playing along with her. And Kit's in Michigan, we're here. And I'm just really grateful for all of the technical expertise and the people who make it happen so that we can have this service every week. So I'm glad to be with you here today. And I have a lot that's on my heart today, because I'm noticing that humanity, especially in the United States, has kind of shifted from being hyper aware of the situation that we're in right now to becoming bored and irritated with it. At least if you look at Facebook, which I try not to do very often, but every now and then I get sucked down that rabbit hole. And if you want to find out what people are thinking, that's a good place to look, because what you'll find are points of view that agree with you and points of view that you don't agree with. And that is not just limited to social media, that is in the world in general. And I just read an article this morning while I was eating breakfast, that said that it's good for us to examine our beliefs, because only then can we begin to understand ourselves better and go into a deeper examination of our spirituality, of our ingrained beliefs, of our conditioned selves. But we can also begin to understand others and have more compassion for them if we go ahead and not let our views become so crystallized that we have no room for anything else, if that makes sense to you. Of course, we have things that we believe and hold on to that are universal truths. They are the eternal truths. But I'm talking about more about our opinions. I'm talking about the beliefs that we hold on to that might separate us from other people. And so, for instance, yesterday, I noticed that a friend of mine had been posting on Facebook and seemed very angry and concerned and angry again, and I became concerned about her. And I didn't agree with what she was saying, and I knew I didn't, but I wanted to understand where she was coming from, and I also wanted to check in with her to see if I could be of any service to her, because I know she's lost a parent in the last few months. And sometimes when people have great big emotions, there's something else underneath it. And you know that for yourself. If you ever find yourself having a very energetic over-response to something, there's probably something else going on underneath. And we need to remember that about all the other people that we interact with in the world and on social media. So I texted her. I didn't get into a Facebook battle, because those are useless. But I did text her and say, are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? And can you please explain to me why you feel this certain way so that I can understand better where you're coming from? I opened that door as a friend. And we had a very enlightening exchange with each other. There are things that we agreed upon. She softened her stance a little. I softened my stance a little. We agreed on the points that we could disagree on. In other words, we agreed to disagree. And we still love each other because our differences are not enough to make us not love each other, no matter what. And so we can do that with our friends. The harder thing, and Jesus warned us about this, the harder thing is to have compassion and understanding for people that we don't know. Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, it's easy to love your brother, but what about the person that's not your brother? Can you love them? Because that's really expanding your idea of loving. And so I'm using love and compassion interchangeably here today. Can we extend our compassion toward people we don't agree with, toward people that we find unlikable, toward people that seem to not be worth our love and compassion? To say that also makes us ask ourselves, how dare we not love another, no matter what? Now, this is a very complex and not easy part of our spiritual growth. It requires a lot of spiritual finesse with ourselves, with the assistance of the Spirit that lives within us, the Spirit that from which all love springs. So there is a possibility for us to have disagreement, to have thoughts about another, and to hold an "and" along with it that includes love and compassion. And if there's ever a time in our world that we need to be doing this, it's now. I've been talking about this month. But we're isolated enough that it's easy for us to become an echo chamber for our own thoughts, an echo chamber for our own self-righteousness, an echo chamber for, I am on this side and they're on that side, and we've set up an us and a them. And that doesn't work in our spiritual lives at all. So it's really important that we do the hard work, made easier by Spirit, that we do the hard work of opening ourselves up for our own self-examination and to open ourselves up to love no matter what. Now, so I'm putting out a big ask today. And if you've got a little part of yourself right now that's got your hands somewhere on your hips, going, all right, I can do that except for fill in the blank. So we're going to take our hands off our hips. We're going to open up our hearts a little bit. And we're going to see if we can do that work that we're being called to. What else shall we do in this time that we've been given to restructure all of humanity? What if this is the time in which we're called to do the very best that we can do to lift all the boats that are on the rising tide? Let's try that. This is a good way to use our time. So, and I am preaching to myself as well, because I can read something in the news or on social media and go, and you see what happens? Well, I can't believe so-and-so thinks this. I can't believe this is what they really believe. It's a waste of our energy. And you'll notice that it takes a lot of energy to be mad. It takes awareness, but less energy to let our true selves flow forward toward another. So as I've been doing all this month, I'm going to share with you from my book of world scriptures, from a chapter called Loving Kindness. How about that? So I'm going to run through them really quickly from the Quran in Islam. Those who act kindly in this world will have kindness. From the Oracle of Itsukushima in Shintoism. I am so proud I said that word. Those who do not abandon mercy will not be abandoned by me. From Christianity in 1 Peter, love covers a multitude of sins. From Confucianism, benevolence means man. When these two are conjoined, the result is the way, with the capital W. From Jainism, have benevolence toward all living beings, joy at the sight of the virtuous, compassion and sympathy for the afflicted, and tolerance toward the indolent and ill-behaved. God enjoins justice, kindness, and charity to one's kindred, and forbids indecency, abomination, and oppression. He admonishes you so that you may take heed. That's from Islam. From Judaism and the Mishnah, the world stands upon three things: upon the law, upon worship, and upon showing kindness. From the this is from the Yoruba people in Africa, in Nigeria. Gentle character it is which enables the rope of life to stay unbroken in one's hand. Oh, I love that. The rope of life staying unbroken. Every time we have a harsh thought toward another, we fray that rope a little bit. He who can find no room for others lacks fellow feeling. And to him who lacks fellow feeling, all men are strangers. That's from the Tao. From Islam, treat people in such a way and live amongst them in such a manner that if you die, they will weep over you. Alive, they crave for your company. From Hinduism, what sort of religion can it be without compassion? You need to show compassion to all living beings. Compassion is the root of all religious faiths. Oh my goodness, there are so many pages of readings about compassion, about loving kindness, about service to others. I love this from the Baha'i people. I testify that thou art the Lord of all creation and the educator of all beings, visible and invisible. I bear witness that thy power hath encompassed the entire universe, and that the hosts of the earth can never dismay thee, nor can the dominion of all peoples and all nations deter thee from executing thy purpose. I confess that thou hast no desire except the regeneration of the whole world, and the establishment of the unity of its peoples, and the salvation of all them that dwell therein. Wow. So if we're to have compassion for other people, what pours from that? So we establish compassion first. That's important. And we serve others from that compassion. And sometimes our service is the act that we do first until compassion can make its way fully into our hearts. There are a lot of spiritual practices, emotional and mental practices, to act as if until you can incorporate and assimilate the meaning and the feeling behind something. So if you're having trouble with your compassion, try serving others, because from that, compassion will spring. Likewise, if you have compassion, service springs from that, so they interact with each other. And as I spoke about last week, we have a whole group of people here who are serving the Wimberley community in conjunction with other churches in the Wimberley community to bring meals to people who otherwise would not have them. And so there is a joy in that giving, a joy in that service that also serves the heart of those who are serving. Do you see? And there are many ways that we can serve others. Our daily word today was about praying for others, and I think you've noticed that we've become much more courageous, I would say, about voicing our prayer request to other people, for ourselves and for people that we love, especially as the circle of infectious disease gets a little closer and closer and closer to our homes and to the people that we love. And so one of the ways that we can serve on the spot, in the moment, without even having to prepare for it, is by prayer. And remember that prayer that I talked about many times here in this sanctuary, that sometimes our greatest prayer is to thank God and the name of the person for whom we pray. God, this beloved. God, this stranger. God, the world. God, this person with whom I disagree. God, this person whose actions are not the demonstration of the best of who they are. Back and forth, back and forth. Prayer. Prayer continuously, as Paul instructed all of the people who listened to his writings and his letters. Pray always. That's the first way we can serve easily. But we can also serve by returning a grocery basket to the store for somebody who doesn't have to make that long walk. Let somebody who has fewer items get in line ahead of us when we're buying our essentials. We can do it by bringing a meal to someone who may not have it, by making a phone call, sending a text, sending an email, saying hi. Sometimes all you have to do is text somebody and send them a little heart emoji. You know? My heart, your heart, one heart. There is practice in Judaism, and I hope I say it right because I don't know Hebrew or Yiddish, tikkun olam. And what it means specifically is repair of the world. Tikkun olam. It is an aspiration to behave and act constructively and beneficially, to bear responsibility for our own moral, spiritual, and material welfare, but for the welfare of society at large as well. This is an act of service that is essential to Jewish life. But in truth, it's essential to Christian life, Hindu life, Baha'i life, all of them. So this Jewish practice of serving others is, it's for everyone. And again, let me read to you from Galatians, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." From Jainism, "Rendering help to another is the function of all human beings." I'm going to say that one again. Rendering help to another is the function of all human beings. All men are responsible for one another. All people are responsible for one another. From Judaism, "The best of people are those who are useful to others." From Islam, Christianity, 1 Corinthians, "Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." From Sikhism, "Without selfless service are no objectives fulfilled. in service lies the purest action. He who prays for his fellow men while he himself has the same need will be answered first. That's from Judaism. Confucianism, the man of perfect virtue wishing to be established himself, also seeks to establish others. Wishing to be enlarged himself, he seeks also to enlarge others. Here's from the Book of Mormon. I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in service of your God. From Sikhism, one who serves and seeks no recompense finds union with the Lord. Such a servant alone takes the Master's guidance, as on him is divine grace. And this final one is from the Yamana Eskimo initiation. It's Native American religion, of course. Do not seek to benefit only yourself, but think of other people also. If you yourself have an abundance, do not say, "The others do not concern me. I need not bother about them." If you were lucky in hunting, let others share it. Moreover, show them the favorable spots where there are many sea lions, which can be easily slain. My apologies to the sea lions and all of those who protect them. But also remember that sea lions are essential to Eskimo life. For their food, for their fuel, for their clothing. So if you have a judgment there, remember that culture and its needs. And I'll go on. Let others have their share occasionally. If you want to amass everything for yourself, other people will stay away from you and no one will want to be with you. Who wants that? If you should one day fall ill, no one will visit you because for your part, you did not formerly concern yourself about others. Grant other people something also. The Yamana do not like a person who acts selfishly. So there. I mean, what can I say? I could read for many pages here, but I think you kind of get the idea that if we're going to repair the world, if we're going to make things better, then we really have to extend ourselves beyond ourselves. Find people who are willing to engage in conversation with you about things in which you don't agree. Just for an experiment. And I charge you, if you do that, do not let it become an argument. Because you have within you the ability to be reasonable, compassionate, have a grateful listening, so that even if the other person becomes agitated, you stand in your peace and you listen. If nothing else, you have additional information and the opportunity to practice compassion and love. Gosh, what a great idea. Oh my goodness. This feels so important because never in our lifetimes have we had a time like this in which we can strive to make everything around us better through the inspiration and the guidance in our thoughts, words, and deeds from Spirit. Never have we had a better opportunity. And yes, we can reorganize our closets, which I'm doing right now. We can bake bread and we can do so many things that we have maybe the leisure time to do as we remember those essential workers that are out there working two or three jobs to make ends meet so that we might have those things that are essential to us. We must include them in our prayers, in our generosity, in the extension of our goodwill in whatever way we can. We must. I know I used that word last Sunday. I guess I'm going to use it for a while. Because we're charged with taking care of each other, aren't we? So don't let any part of you kid yourself into thinking, oh, this isn't for me. That's for someone else to do. Remember what the Eskimos say. Fine, if you want to go that way, then don't expect the good to come back to you. Pretty sure they didn't say it in a Texas accent, but there it is. I'd like to close this part of the service, this talk, with scripture that's familiar to you. I think you'll recognize it. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have not, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, when I grew up, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And you can say it with me because you know the end. But the greatest of these is love. For our meditation today, I'd like to read to you the words of Rabbi Rami Shapiro. Rabbi Yerachmiel gathered the children of the village to him. Listen, children, listen, for a great mystery is about to be revealed to you. In the beginning, God made a single human from the dust of the earth. This one was red, yellow, brown, black, and white, for all the sands of creation were used to fashion it. Male and female it was, for God had not yet separated the sexes. And God said, "This one is in my image, for this one includes all creation in one being." God had thought this being would be happy, but it was not happy. It was lonely. So God divided the one human in two, female and male. And then these two divided themselves even further until the unity of the first person was lost in the divisions created by the many people who followed. And God was saddened by the false divisions. So God called all the people together and stood them in a great valley. God called each person to stand before a divine mirror in which each person saw reflected not her own image, but the images of everyone else. Many people were frightened by the strange mirror and ran away to hide. But others understood that God was reminding them of their unity. And these people set for themselves a great task: to help each of us see the whole world reflected in each face. God helped them. God took the great mirror and made millions upon millions of tiny mirrors. God placed these tiny mirrors in the eyes of every human being, even you and me, so that if you look in another's eyes, you will see reflected there the whole world and the one who created it. You are the children of these daring few, and it is time for you to carry on their work, to learn to look into the eyes of another and see the whole world and the one from whom the whole world flows. If you fail, if you see only yourself reflected in God's mirror, the lie you will live will burn the world to a cinder. The whole world is waiting for you, my children. You must see the truth and proclaim it. You must open your eyes and see. And the children looked at each other in awe. Some saw and smiled. Some saw and cried. Some could not see at all. But all held tight one to the other. And God sighed a great sigh of hope. So take that deep breath, that deep cleansing, unifying breath. And beloved, for a moment, imagine those millions of mirrors in which we all gaze, and we see the all in the one. Look in my eyes and see yourself and others and the one reflected. If you're with another, look into their eyes right now and see everything. Feel your heart soften? Do you feel that? If that story moved you, beloved, then you are being called to that higher place of compassion and mercy and service, of love and generosity and goodwill. And it will, in the days ahead, permeate every transaction that you have with another. It will fuel your prayers for others. It will bless your hands as you perform acts of service. Just breathe that in. Breathe it in. For surely as you bless others, you yourself are blessed 1,000-fold. And as you serve others, so shall you be served. And we do this not for the reciprocation. We do it because that's what we were created to do. So if you have any little hard parts around your heart, let them just crack and fall away. If you have a place in your mind that is holding on to a belief or a thought so hard that it troubles you and condenses you into a tiny space, just let it fly away so that you might be expanded. So that you might be more able to love, to listen, to give. Just place your hand on your heart for a moment. It will let you know when it's time for you to open yourself up to make the world better. One act, one thought, one prayer, one deed at a time. And knowing that this is who we are, and knowing that we are blessed and filled with the One, we affirm that this is so. And amen.